What's the secret to true satisfaction? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Man has a longing in his heart that will never be satisfied without the new birth. I want to say again, no matter how much money you have, how much pleasure you enjoy, how much fame is spread abroad concerning you, if you are not born again, there's a part of you that is missing and will never, ever be satisfied apart from the new birth.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the dynamic teaching of acclaimed pastor and author Adrian Rogers. In John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Jesus explains to Nicodemus the concept of being born again. By nature, we're plagued with undeniable sinfulness, unsatisfied longings, and our soul's unending existence. For these reasons, there is an urgency to be born again. How can we experience new birth? How can we understand the new birth? If you have your Bible handy, turn now to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, as Adrian Rogers explains the new birth.
I was in Argentina preaching, and I preached in a crusade in a city named called Mendoza, and another, San Juan. And God poured out his blessings in a wonderful way, and we saw multitudes come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I preached on understanding the new birth. And as I was preaching there in South America, I said to myself, I need to preach this same message right in the United States and across the world where, and around the world where Love Worth Finding ministers. So I want you to find the classic passage on the new birth and turn, if you will, please, to John chapter 3. And we're going to read together the first seven verses. But let me say, as we're talking about the new birth and born again Christians, to say born again Christian is really redundant. You don't have to put the description born again in front of a Christian. If he is a Christian, he is born again. Amen? To say born again Christian would be like saying tooth dentist. Or it'd be like saying female woman. If you are a Christian, you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian, no matter what denomination you may be a member of. Now let me read the scripture to you. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, now the word rabbi means teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This is a divine imperative. Jesus says that you must be born again. Now, why must a person be born again? First of all, because of man's undeniable sinfulness. Now, you may not think you're a sinner, but I want to remind you to whom Jesus was speaking. The man's name was Nicodemus. His very name means superior. Also, he was a Jew. He was of the chosen race. Besides that, he was a ruler of the Jews. That is, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of only 71 in all the nation of Israel. It would be like being a member of the Supreme Court. He was among the most religious of the religious. He was among the most moral of the moral. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I want to say to any religious person here today and any moral person here today, if you think you can go to heaven without being born again, you're grossly ignorant of two things. Number one, you don't know how sinful you are. Number two, you don't know how holy God is. Because of man's undeniable sinfulness, man must be born again. And also because of man's unsatisfied longings. There's something in you that will never be satisfied until you are born again. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. There was a void and emptiness in his heart. He had to talk to Jesus. He had been seeing Jesus do miracles. He wanted to know. There was something about Jesus that intrigued him. There was a hunger in his heart, and so he came to Jesus by night. Now, theologians have raced their motors to try to figure out why Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Some say because he was ashamed to come in the daytime, or a fear of persecution. Now, I just believe that he came to Jesus by night because he couldn't sleep. And as one wise man said, rather than counting sheep, he just decided he would talk to the shepherd. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked Jesus, "Lord, I want to understand miracles. Rabbi," he called him Rabbi, "master, teacher. No one can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him." And Jesus just turned the thing back to him and said, in effect, "Nicodemus, if you want to understand miracles, you're going to have to become a miracle. You must be born again." Man has a longing in his heart that will never be satisfied without the new birth. I want to say again, no matter how much money you have, how much pleasure you enjoy, how much fame is spread abroad concerning you, if you are not born again, there's a part of you that is missing and will never, ever, ever be satisfied apart from the new birth. I'll tell you another reason that you must be born again, because of your unending existence. Your soul will be in existence somewhere when the sun, the moon, and the stars have grown cold. You're going to live forever. After death, there is another life, either in heaven for those who've been born again, in hell for those who have not been born again. And if you've not been born twice, you'll die twice. The second death is the lake of fire. You say, "Pastor, don't talk to me about death. I am healthy." You are nearer death than you've ever been. Sure. One time you were in an automobile accident, you said, "I was very close to death." No, you weren't, because you didn't die. You're closer to death now than you've ever been. You are nearer to the time now, at this moment, when you're going to die than you've ever been since you've been on the face of this earth. You will die, and you will exist somewhere, and without the new birth, you will exist forever in hell. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus, the master teacher, used this phrase, "born again." Why? Because a birth is something we've all experienced. Did anybody get here any other way except being born physically? Of course not. We have all had a physical birth. So therefore, we can take a physical birth and we can make a correlation and we can understand that the spiritual birth in many ways parallels a physical birth. So I want to give you six ways that being born again spiritually is like being born physically. Our Lord wants us to understand, and so let's look at these six ways. Number one, in a birth, conception takes place. You cannot have a birth without a conception. Now, when you were born physically, you had two parents. You had a mother and a father. What are the two parents in the spiritual birth? The two parents in the spiritual birth are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Look, if you will, in verse 5 of this chapter. Look at it. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Those are the two parents, water and the Spirit. Now, what does water stand for? Water stands for the Word of God. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, water is an emblem, a symbol of the Word of God. The Bible speaks of the washing of water by the Word. Now, we know it's the Word of God that is referred to here because of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Put that in the margin of your Bible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, the word seed means sperm, not of corruptible sperm, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the father, as it were, in your spiritual birth, is the Word of God. Now, what is the mother? The mother is the Spirit of God. You're born of water and of the Spirit. When the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, then a conception takes place. That is the reason before I came out here to preach, I got on my knees and prayed for the anointing of the Spirit, because I want the Holy Spirit to be here today. That is the reason that when I preach, I use the Word of God, because it takes the Spirit of God and the Word of God for a conception. But there's another thing that is needed if you would be born again. There is the Word and there's the Spirit, but where's the womb? Where's the womb? The womb is the womb of faith. You supply the womb. That is faith. He's going to tell us in verse 16 in a moment that we must believe, that when we believe, we'll have everlasting life. And so when the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together in the womb of faith, there is a conception and a new birth takes place. Secondly, not only in a new birth is there conception, but number two, in a birth, a continuation is involved, or a continuity is involved. Parents don't manufacture babies. What parents do is just transmit life from themselves to the child. I have in me the life of my father, Arden Rogers, and the life of my mother, Rose Rogers. Now, Arden and Rose came together. I was conceived, and now I share their life. Their life continues in me. Now, when you are born again, the life of God comes into you. You are a part of the life of God. God comes in to you. God's life is put into you. You see, folks, salvation is not simply getting man out of earth into heaven. It is getting God out of heaven into man. It is the life of God that comes into you. The theme of the Gospel of John is life. Now, by your first birth, you have existence. By your second birth, you have supernatural life. In the Gospel of John, the word life is used some 36 times. And you know Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I've come that you might have life. And so understand this, that when you are born again, you are a partaker of God's life, a partaker of the divine nature. The life of God is in you. Now, I have the life of A.D. and Rose Rogers in me. If you were to meet my parents, they're both in heaven now, but you would understand me a whole lot more because I'm a part of them. Now, I also, by my second birth, I have the life of God in me. God is in me by my second birth because there has been a conception and now there is a continuity, this new life that is in me. Now, here's a third thing about a birth that I want you to understand. In a birth, character is produced. Character is produced. Look, if you will, in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, when you were born of the flesh, you became flesh, and you had the nature of your first parents. Now, I don't think I'm disrespectful, but I want to say my first parents were sinners. Mother Rose Rogers, sweet as she was, infectious sense of humor, she was a sinner. And my father, honorable, decent man that he was a sinner. How did he become a sinner? Well, he received a nature from his father. And how did he become a sinner? Well, he had a nature from his father. And it goes all the way back to Adam, and the Bible says, in Adam all die. We're all sinners by nature. Say amen. Amen. Don't look so holy. The Bible says we are by nature the children of wrath. Now, we receive the character of our earthly parents by our earthly birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, we receive the character of God by our new birth. A character is produced. We become partakers of the divine nature. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. I have the nature of A.D. and Rose Rogers in me by my first birth, but I have the nature of Almighty God in me by my second birth. Now, you must understand this. Jesus said you have to be born again. You have to have a brand new start. Christians are not just nicer people. They're new creatures. They're new creatures. You are brand new. I've often used this illustration. A Christian is not like a tadpole who's finally developed into a frog, just a continuation of the same first birth. A Christian is more like a frog that has been transformed into a prince by the kiss of grace. It is a supernatural, wonderful thing. Now, a character is produced. Has there been a change in your character? Or did you just simply join the church and get baptized? Listen to me carefully. If your religion has not changed your life, you better change your religion. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Now, what are the traits of the twice born? What is the character? Remember that when you are born from above, and literally that's what the Greek says when it says born again, it literally says being born from above. When you are born from above, God's nature comes into you. Well, what is the nature of God? Do you want to know whether you're saved or not? I know that I'm a Rogers. I can look at my parents and I can see their nature in me. I know that I've been born again because I can open the Bible and see God, and I can look in my heart and see the nature of God in me. What are the traits of a twice born? What is the character that is produced? What will be in you if you have really been born again? May I mention four of them? First of all, there will be a love for Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't love Jesus, you better put a big question mark after this thing you call salvation. There will be a love for Jesus Christ, not a mere intellectual belief, a love for Jesus Christ. What did God the Father say of His Son? This is my beloved Son. Does God the Father love His Son? You better believe it. Is God's nature in you if you've been born again? It is. Then as night follows day, you will love what God loves, and He loves His Son. And if you do not have a genuine love for Jesus Christ, you ought to ask yourself, do I have the nature of God in me? No, there will be a love for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else that'll be in your heart if you've been twice born. Another trait of the twice born. There will be a desire for holiness. God the Father says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And He says, I am a father unto you. That is, if you're my child, like father, like son, you are going to desire for true holiness. Now, that doesn't mean that you can never sin, because you're not God. You still have that old nature, the nature you got from your parents, like I have a nature from my parents that I passed on to my children. But let me give you a key verse here. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, notice he's talking about the birth now, does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. You do not commit sin. Doesn't mean you can never ever sin, but the Greek word here means that you cannot habitually practice sin. If sin is your lifestyle, if there's not been a change in your life, if you've not learned to hate sin as well as love the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you say that you've been born again? How can you say that you have the nature of God in you? Are you a partaker of the divine nature? Well, what is the nature of God? God is holy. God is holy. I'll tell you a third mark of a person who's been born again. Not only does he love the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does he have a hatred and antipathy toward sin, but thirdly, he has the inner witness of the Spirit. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. The Bible says that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Why do I say he has the witness of the Spirit? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God is spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into you. The life of God is there. Now, what is the witness of the Spirit in you? It is not an emotional feeling. I'm not opposed to emotions. I enjoy emotions. Very frankly, I'm not really a very emotional person. I don't get real high. I don't get real low. I stay in a narrow band. That is not supernatural. That's just natural. That's the way I am. I stay here. I don't go up and down. Some of you are all over the lot. I just kind of stay right in here. That doesn't make me any better. It doesn't make me any worse. Some people are just more emotional by nature. One man says, bless God, I know I'm saved because when I got saved, I was out plowing corn. I got so happy I tore up a half an acre of corn. Well, that's all right. It's kind of hard on the corn, but that's all right. That doesn't make you any more saved than a little 12-year-old child will come down this aisle this morning, sweetly and quietly give his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of emotions. I've told you before that your emotions are the shallowest part of your nature. Salvation is the deepest work of God. God doesn't do his deepest work in the shallowest part. Now, I'm not opposed to emotions. But if you depend upon emotion for the assurance of your salvation, the assurance of your salvation is going to go up and down with the condition of your liver. What I'm trying to say is this. Listen to me now. There is the witness of the Spirit. What is the witness of the Spirit? It is very hard to explain, but easy to experience. It is that inner consciousness that you belong to Jesus. You know. You know because you know that you know. It is God's Spirit saying to you, I am in you, I live in you. Hereby do we know that we know him because he has given to us of his Spirit. Now, I want to mention a next trait of the twice born and see if this is in you. There will be a desire to share the Lord Jesus Christ. You will want people to know Jesus. What is the burning desire of God the Father? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. God wants you to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants the whole world to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a desire in your heart to share Jesus Christ? I can tell you from the moment I gave my heart to Christ as a teen to this very moment, there has been a burning desire in my heart to share Jesus Christ with other people. Now, if you have been saved, if you've been born again, a character is produced. A character is produced. That character is the divine nature. God himself will be in you. And if you don't have these characteristics, why do you say that the nature of God is in you?
And we'll continue with the conclusion of this insightful lesson coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, if you have questions about who Jesus is or what he means to you, how to begin a relationship with him, go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources there and materials that can answer questions you may have about your faith. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, request one by the title, Understanding the New Birth, when you call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. This message is also part of the powerful series, Putting First Things First, How to Have Eternal Life. If you'd like the complete collection, all six insightful messages, call that number 1-877-LOVE-GOD or go online to order at lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. There's something Pastor Rogers said early in the message that I want you to take with you today. By your first birth, you have existence. By your second birth, you have supernatural life. Have you been born again? We'll hear part two of Understanding the New Birth tomorrow right here on Love Worth Finding. We love hearing how this program has made a difference in your life. I want you to hear something from a young man in New Jersey. Dear Pastor Rogers, thank you so much for having your show. I'm homeschooled and 9 years old. I come downstairs every morning to listen to your show at breakfast. I think it is a wonderful ministry. Your show is very challenging. It's our joy to share these profound messages so simple a 9-year-old can understand. And we love being able to offer other insightful resources to supplement your walk with Christ. This month is a thank you for your generous support. We want to send you our Walk by Faith booklet collection. This booklet collection by Adrian Rogers is perfect for those who want to know more about walking by faith. Request the bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. or give online at lwf.org/radio. And again, thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.